Turn your Bibles to Revelation 5. So when he sees the lion, he sees his book, and no man has prevailed. And then the lion of Judah, both the lion and the lamb, he mentioned here. He said the lion has prevailed to open the book. So the lion actually opens the book. Amen. The king side of Christ. But when he sees him at the right hand, say at the right hand, it's kind of interesting that book's in the right hand. We're all about the right hand. There's a constitution for the right hand. Praise God. I'm asking God to, this is a lot to do with the white horse right here. This whole thing is really about the running of the white horse. Amen. And he sees the lion of Judah. He said, he's the one worthy to open the book. Amen. We're fastly approaching. Well, we're already in season. So any day, God could open that book. You understand that, right? Because we're in season. I'm telling people, I say, we're in season. It's not like the way it was. We're in season. Amen. And he said, worthy is the lion of Judah. So he hath prevailed to open the book. So ultimately, the lion's the one's going to open the book, the king. Amen. Glory to God. And they saw them. It's the throne. The elders stood as a lamb. And because this is priestly side, the lamb's the priest, the lion's the king. And both of these, the whole church was built on the lamb. The early church was built on the lamb. Amen. And both of these are going to be prevalent in our hour. He says, still the lamb had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders, and this is where we are right now, fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayer of the saints. Now, this is a very specific time in history because John sees all of this is something that is to come hereafter. Amen. He sees this is come up hither. He takes him up into heaven in chapter 4, and he shows him the things that are going to come hereafter. And there's a company of saints here that are praying in sync with heaven. This is hugely important. Because they see this. Amen. They see what's happening. They see where we are in the timeline. We see prophetically. Amen. I'm more prophetic as where the word comes, but the word is so detailed about the generation, the time we live in. The word is so pinpoint accurate that the revelations of God's word can show us exactly where we are. That's where we are right now. Amen. The 70 years has expired. That's awesome. You know how long I've been waiting on the revelation of that 70 years? For 70 years. That's funny. But literally, I knew, because Gary Carpenter, he said, man, you were teaching this 20 years ago. And now to see all this come to pass, I'm like, for 20 years, I was always trying to find the 70 years. Every year, I'd go back 70 years in our timeline to find out what is up with 70 years. There has to be a major event took place. And I'm thankful that I know what the 70 years. So it's expired. Our coins are on their way too. Praise the Lord. How many of you ordered coins? Yeah, praise God. Did y'all get an email? Mine are on the way. Yeah, praise the Lord. And so the 7 years expired means we're now in time because the whole generation comes out of Babylon. Zerubbabel, Joshua, Lerubbabel. They come out, praise the Lord. They come out of Babylon and that whole thing is ready to go. All these prophecies are ready to fulfill. Haggai 2, the wealth transference, the crowning of the church, Zechariah 6, the running of the war horse, Zechariah 10. That same war horse is the war horse of Revelation 6. The crowning of the church of Zechariah 6 is the crowning of the church of Philadelphia. Of the church of Philadelphia in chapter 3. Amen. We know it's a last day church. It says it's a last day church. She said, I'll keep you from the hour of tribulation coming up on the whole earth. Amen. Isn't that good? So we know we're in season now, because all of these prophecies are going to now be fulfilled in our generation, which is phenomenal. And so these prayers are coming up. They're incense. It's not normal prayers. They've made it up to the throne. It tells me a lot about these prayers. These prayers are not about just me and my four on the earth. These prayers are incense that have come up before the throne. Now, do you think they're gonna collect prayers of me, myself, and I and bring them up before the throne during this event? These particular prayers are specific to the time and the understanding, and they were brought up, and they're filled bowls, and they were brought up before the throne of God, collected by the elders themselves, brought up for this event. And that incense releases unto the Father, and it's part of the process that's causing the opening of the book. Amen? So these prayers are not just normal everyday prayers. These prayers are very specific prayers that have been brought up before the throne of God, of people who understand the time and the season we live in. Amen? You need to know your prayers are moving up into the throne, being collected in the bowls, golden bowls. Amen? And incense is coming out, and it's going straight into the Father. Amen? Because the Father is ultimately the one that's going to authorize the Lamb to release the seven spirits of God. When He releases the seven spirits of God, I want to teach the parallel of how He released it in the book of Acts and how He's going to release it now, because they're paralleling. The Lamb, the Father is ultimately going to authorize Him, because it's already on the Lamb. He has the seven spirits of God on Him in heaven right now. Amen? What it means is God's already has come out from the Father. Remember in Acts 2, when Jesus in John, He said that my Father will send the Holy Spirit, wait. And then Jesus said, I'll send Him, wait. And they actually both sent Him. The Father didn't send Him directly. The Father, Acts chapter 2, in the ascension of Christ, when He ascended in the Father, in Acts chapter 2, it says, having received of the Holy Spirit. See, the Father sent the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to the Lord. Amen? In His resurrection. And then the Lord sent Him from the right hand of God. They do everything in divine order. They don't do anything outside of order. Amen? And so He had to receive that outpouring, the early rain, before He could send it. He says, and He sent this forth of the things you do now see and hear. This came straight out of the right hand of God. Well, the same thing now, these seven spirits of God, which is the culmination of all things. Amen? And these seven inheritances that when they say, worthy is the Lamb, and they sang a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals. Thou was slain as redeemed as the God of the blood of every country. In verse 10, now, that has made us kings and priests, and we shall reign in the earth. Amen? And they began to heard the voice of many angels around about the throne, the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. This is a huge event. There's 10,000 times 10,000 angels all around this thing. The Lamb is about to open the final book of humanity. The Father is going to authorize it. He's on the Lamb. He already has the seven spirits of God. And when He releases the seal, those seven spirits of God release into the earth. Amen? That's just like the outpouring of the early church. It's going to be that magnitude and more, because those seven spirits of God carry everything the early church had. Say everything. Everything and more. Amen? And more. And more. And they said, saying with a loud voice. Now watch this. In verse 11, it says, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb. These are 10,000 times 10,000, a million angels or more, 10 million angels. What's 10,000 times 10,000? Somebody do the math. 10,000, 10, 10, 4, 4, that's 8 zeros with a 1. 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 million angels. Say 10 million. That's 10 million angels saying with a loud voice. Could you imagine being a part of that procession? You got incense coming up. The Lamb has the seven spirits of God. He's received the book. He's about to open the book, and 10 million angels begin to sing and declare with a loud, "Worthy is the Lamb that has received the seven inheritances." See, the seven inheritances is the seven horns and the seven eyes. You can say seven horns plus seven eyes equals seven inheritances. You see that? He received all this. Why? Because this is what's being poured out with the seven spirits of God. Amen? You got to know when you hear him say, these are the seven spirits of God that are being sent forth in all the earth. You have to understand the magnitude of what's releasing here. Amen? The magnitude, God's announcing with 10,000 times 10,000s of angels. This is a huge event in heaven. And we're in season. Ever look at your neighbor and say, we're in season. I mean, they could be singing right now. I mean, we could all get caught up right now, poof, and watch the whole thing. I mean, if all that's happening, he's collecting prayers, I believe he's going to have witnesses going to watch all this. They're going to witness this. God's not going to open something like that and do something like that without witnesses. Amen? He's going to announce this to the world. This book has been opened. And when these seven inheritances come, I mean, every single one of them, I know we talk a lot about them, but every single one of them in their own right are full blown manifestations of the kingdom of God. When he says, where there's a land to receive dunamis, that dunamis was the same outpouring of power that the Holy Ghost brought with him. He says, you receive the Holy Spirit and dunamis power. He says, wait, to be my witnesses, to be my witnesses. See, God, he said, if you'll notice in the book of Acts, he says, wait, to be endued with power. Now, the Lord was standing in front of them when he said that in a resurrected state. When he told them that in Luke 24, he was in a resurrection. He had just eaten with them. He had just had them touch his hands. Amen. He'd eaten with them. He said, touch me. I'm not a ghost. This is a resurrected body here. You are looking at me in a resurrected state. Talk with me. Touch me. Let's eat together. Why was he doing all that? He was confirming their testimony. I'm confirming to you that I've been raised from the dead. I want you to hear my voice. I want you to touch me. I want to eat with you. And he opened the books. See, everything he was doing by many infallible proofs being seen of them for 40 days. Peter got six visitations, ordained twice in those six, one with all 11 and once by himself. The Lord ordained him at the Sea of Tiberias with seven other apostles there. He ordained Peter for the work he was about to do. God does things in order. Amen. This kind of event is not going to arbitrarily fall out. It's going to be all done in perfect order. Glory to God. They all saw him. Peter stood and said, every one of us in this upper room, we're all witnesses of this. We've all seen him. He appeared unto 500 brethren at one time. Amen? So all this is taking place. He says, now wait for the promise of the Father, and behold, you shall receive. We all get this part. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, dunamis. That is one of the seven inheritances. The Holy Ghost brought one huge inheritance down with him. This is one of the seven we're going to get. This is the magnitude of what's about to happen to the church age right now. It's awesome. He goes, you shall see power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. To what? For what? For what? To be my witness, not just witnesses, eyewitnesses. With great dunamis power gave the apostles eyewitness testimony. Amen? So all of that, the bear witness of his resurrection. Amen? Not only will the end time apostles bear witness of the resurrection, one of the end time, I love teaching, and I don't have to hold nothing back when I'm teaching the intercessors. Amen? Sundays I got to hold back. I don't like holding back. Praise God. I like to let it rip. Amen? And he says, the end time apostles, they're going to bear witness. One of the great things that are going to bear witness, one of the great events, is this very event. Because God's going to announce this to the world. I mean, if 10,000 times 10,000 angels are singing in heaven, this event's not going to go unnoticed in the earth. The seven spirits of God are going to release. We could be one of the very places that receives the first outpouring. You have to believe that. I mean, we didn't carry this thing for 30 years for no, we didn't mark this thing. The Holy Ghost didn't mark this with revelation. There's no way anybody's this smart to understand these kind of mysteries. There's no way anywhere, anyhow you could have understood the mystery of the lampstand. When he gave it to me 28 years ago, I had no clue. Without the Holy Spirit, we would still have no clue. I mean, nobody would believe all that's in a word of the Lord. Amen? But it is. Amen? And tying that, I've studied in time eschatology. I've never heard anybody talk on these first six chapters like this. Not that they don't, I just haven't heard this. Amen? And I can't wait for the Spirit of the Lord to take this out. Amen? For people to understand, because a lot of people, they get very, their understanding of the end times is very, very messed up. I mean, one lady, she just couldn't get over the fact that white horse wasn't the Antichrist, you know. And she goes, because I've been taught this way. I'm like, yeah, because you've been taught by some person doesn't mean that that's the truth. I said, look at it all, you know. Look at the understanding of it. Look at verse 8 in Revelation chapter 6. It defines the three horses, but the function of the three horses. But the white horse was not mentioned as a destructive horse. The other three were. And it said they're going to take a fourth part of the earth with them. I'll say a fourth part. That hasn't happened yet. They're going to, I think it was a fourth part. Yeah, they're going to take a fourth part. But the white horse, his function was not mentioned when he was summarizing the destructive horses. Amen. And why would that white horse be so unison in Revelation with the war horse of Zechariah chapter 10? I mean, it's just amazing, all the stuff there. Amen? It's glorious. Praise God. Amen? So all this incense is going up before the throne, but these seven inheritances are all coming down at once. Look at the first two. Just look at the first two before we pray. Well, the first two is what he brought with the early church. Amen? Behold, you receive power. That's the same dunamis that he's bringing down. That's one of the seven inheritances given to the final church. One. Amen? Behold, you will receive seven inheritances. They receive one. We're getting seven. Amen? Because they're now they did receive wisdom, there's no doubt about it, but their wisdom was different than ours. Their wisdom was to lay the groundwork, the foundation of the church, which was Christ, to come out from law and to lay the foundation of the born-again trail. What it meant to understand for Christ. And then they begin to understand the right hand of God. And then Paul was trying to get them up, because Paul in the book of Hebrews was looking at the king priest government. He was looking at this thing out after the order of Melchizedek. He goes, come on, man, there's something way bigger than what we're dealing with. He goes, let's go on into perfection. And he's trying to describe this king priest government he's looking at in the book of Hebrews. And he goes, I want to give you meat. And he goes, but I'm having to give you milk, man. But I'm looking at something. And he looked into our day. Amen. He looked into it, but it wasn't their day. It's our day. Amen. He looked into it. He thought it was for his generation. Isn't that glorious? But he looked into it. Praise God. John saw the whole thing unveil. But now there's seven. What's the second one? Riches. That is actually, that word means generational wealth. Amen. That is what he brings at the crowning of the church of Philadelphia. When he takes the crown of David, of the house of David, say the house of David, and he puts that crown on his church, the rider was given a crown. Amen? That all that wealth comes with that crown. Isn't that glorious? He's not taking wealth. He's giving a crown that has thousands of years of generational wealth. Remember what we just taught about how God kept Israel's wealth with them when it left Jerusalem and it went to Tyre, and then Nebuchadnezzar brought all that wealth and put it under the vaults of Babylon, and while they were serving in captivity, all the wealth of their nation was sitting underneath them. Isn't that incredible? Now, if God could hold that wealth for 400 years, he's also been holding David's wealth all these years, because David, the Lord received the house, the crown of David, and he took that throne up into heaven with him. Did you know that? He said he'll sit on the throne of David. He took that throne. He never sat on the throne of David here. He took that throne up into heaven with him, which is Mount Hebron, which dates all the way back to Abraham. Amen? which is all that generates wealth. He goes, I'll bring a seed out of Judah, out of Jacob, an inheritor of my mountains. I'll bring a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, which came out of Jacob. Judah, the lion, say the lion, the king, an inheritor of my mountains. So he receives Mount Hebron, he receives the crown of David. Amen. He receives, and he goes into the key, as I now hold the key to the house, the reigning monarchy of David. That key is mentioned in Isaiah 22. Remember that? Isaiah 22, the same one. He goes, I will open and no man can shut. He that had the key of the house of David, I will open, say, I'll open. No man can shut. He will bring forth the nail, and I'll make him a nail in a sure place. Guess what the rider of the white horse in Zechariah 10, what does he say about him? He says, out of him will come forth the final stone, the headstone. Out of him will come forth the nail. Say the nail. And out of him will come forth the battle bow. The battle bow. Who was the rider of the white horse in Revelation 6? What was he? He had a crown, the very crown of Isaiah 22, and a battle bow. You can't make this stuff up. Amen? It's an incredible mystery. It's just amazing. So we're sitting on this, and those are just first two inheritances. The two greatest things on the earth, power and wealth. Amen? Both of them are going to get fully released in this hour. Full gospel, praise God. Isn't that awesome? So I'm over here, and the Spirit of the Lord said, I want you to be, because just every day I'm just bringing this up. I said, I'm in season, God. I'm bringing it up every day. Because I don't know he's going to do it. I just want to be there when he does it. You know, I'm like, we're in season. He spoke to me on the way over here today. He says, I want you now. It's like he came over me on the way over here in traffic and all that stuff. He said, I've heard the prayers of this house. I want you to begin receiving. I want you to begin receiving what is to come. Amen. Say, receiving what is to come. Ooh, isn't that glorious? I want you to begin receiving. Be bold. Can you receive the crown? Can you receive the seven inheritance? Can you develop a kind of faith to receive the outpouring? Amen? To receive. To be in a position of faith to be receiving when most people don't even know it's about to happen yet. Not only we know what's happening, not only we prayed into it, not only we asked, not only we carried the lampstand, now we receive the lighting of the lampstand. There's only one force capable of lighting this lamp, and that's the seven spirits of God will light this lamp. Because it's already burning in heaven, but it's going to burn in us. He's going to light this thing in us. Thy will be done on earth in us as it is in heaven. Isn't that glorious? Can you receive the seven spirits of God? It's a whole different kind of prayer because, we're asking, first of all, just trying to understand the thing is enough, you know, and then ask, be bold enough to ask for incense to come up, but can you stand and receive? Amen? Whew. We're joint heirs with the Lamb that's received this. Everything that's on him in Revelation 5 is on his joint heirs. Do you understand that? We're joint heirs with him in this. The Lord's not going to just come down by himself and do this. He's going to send all this down the same way he did in Acts. He's going to send it in to his apostles, prophets, and his people, see? He's going to send it upon his people. Glory to God. Say, glory to God. Hallelujah. Can we receive, stand, and have the kind of faith to understand who we are in this hour? There's one scripture there. When they begin to sing with a loud voice, the kings and priests will now reign in the earth. That means everything he was describing was coming down into the earth. It's a season to run. I don't know how long. I have my ideas of how long. But it's not going to be forever. Because we know the tribulation age will soon follow. And the Antichrist is expressly given power over the saints. You know what he says there in the book of Revelation? Oh, Lord, see, I'm teaching again. Y'all should not even let me have the mic when I get over here on Tuesday. He says, you know what? Because the more you understand, the more effective your prayers are. Amen? We are not people praying out of alignment. We are in alignment. We're praying in position, in timing. Everything about what God's doing is perfectly aligned, and we're aligned with him right now. We know we're in season, so we have a right to receive. We know that we are part of the king priest order that's going to reign in the earth. Amen. But you know, it said the book of Revelation says, blessed are those that die in the Lord from henceforth. After the devil's been thrown out of heaven, you know he's going to empty the heavens in the mid part of 7-year tribulation. He's going to empty it all. He's not going to rule and reign with the devil and his archangels in the second heaven for 1,000 years. They're all getting thrown out. He's going to empty the entire second heaven in the 3.5 year. All of the principalities, powers, the devil himself, all the second heaven is going to get emptied out into the earth. His woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. The devil has come down to you. You do not want to be here because that starts the great tribulation. You know, it says about the people and the people of God, blessed are those that die in the Lord from henceforth. You're blessed. For every day you live in this, you're better off dead. Everyone say, thank God, we ain't going to be here. Amen. You're going to be watching it in heaven. But God is not going to descend the 7-year tribulation on the world without a mighty, mighty, mighty outpouring. It's going to be really hard to reject Jesus in this last movement because the awesome displays of all things is about to happen. And God's doing this as his first gift of mercy to the world. Take this, receive this, because part of the message of the end time apostles is you're in the last days. The book has been opened. You don't think we're going to receive persecution. I told Chuck the other day, I said, we're going to receive some serious persecution, especially if we're called up to bear witness of this book that's been opened. Oh, yeah, you crazy. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Here we go. Another again. They said the book's been opened. You think God's going to send a message like that without power? They won't hear you. No more than the apostles, that's what I was trying to say Sunday morning. No, the apostles are going to give that kind of power. Oh, yeah, go tell them I've been raised from the dead. They're not going to hear you without power. God has a power that comes with messages like this that's unlike any power, and it's designed to no man can do these unless God's with him, and it's designed to correlate with what you're saying. Amen? That, hey, you don't get to live life anymore the way you want to. You're in the last days of the last days. This is your final testimony before the terrible 7 years that is to come. God's going to announce that to the world. Right now, it's all just vague. They all know, you know, they'll say it, but God's going to put this on the map. It's not going to be all roses, even though the power and all the glory, it's not going to be like that. There's going to be a lot of persecution with it. I'm just telling you straight up. I've got a really good feeling that we're going to be called to bear witness of this. Amen? Well, you better watch before you say amen to that. But it's going to be glorious, though. There's so much glory there. Amen? There's so much glory with it. I mean, God loves creation. He's going to let them know. I'm not just going to pull the trigger on the 7 years. And, you know, he's going to let people know. He's going to announce it. Every time God does something, he'll announce it. Amen. He'll announce it. He told them they're going to go into captivity. Jeremiah wasn't a happy prophet. He was a weeping prophet. We're a church of overcoming kings and priests. The glory and the light and the love, the power of God will be so incredible. You won't even care what people think. Amen? Because you're not going to be dwelling here in your ministry. It's just going to be a heavenly ministry. Caught up in the heaven, caught up before the throne of God. Everything about God's wisdom, those 144,000, they're caught up before the throne of God. They're standing on Mount Zion, but they're caught up before the throne of God. Amen. A heavenly company of witnesses. Amen. We're part of that bridal company of heavenly witnesses. And we got to get ready. You got to get ready to know who we are. Amen. We got to get ready because when he sends this down, it's on. Amen. It's going to move fast all over the world. Glory to God forever.